The crowd seemed to be transfixed by the walking corpse, but we were too isolated, too alone now with the dead, and I knew it would only be seconds before they noticed Joshua rocking in the dirt. I threw my arm around his throat and dragged him back away from the corpse and into a group of men who were wailing as they backed away. "Is he all right?" I heard at my ear and turned to see Maggie standing beside me. "Help me get him away." Maggie took one of Joshua's arms and I took the other as we dragged him away. His body was as stiff as a walking staff, and he kept his gaze trained on the corpse. The dead woman was walking toward her son, the priest, who was backing away, brandishing the scroll like a sword, his eyes as big as saucers. Finally, the woman fell in the dirt, twitched, then lay still. Joshua went limp in our arms. "Let's get him out of here," I said to Maggie. She nodded and helped me drag him behind the wagon where the centurion was directing his troops. "Is he dead?" the centurion asked. Joshua was blinking as if he had just been awakened from a dead sleep. "We're never sure, sir," I said. The centurion threw his head back and laughed. His scale armor rattled with the tossing of his shoulders. He was older than the other soldiers, gray-haired, but obviously lean and strong, and totally unconcerned with the histrionics of the crowd. "Good answer, boy. What is your name?"
"Biff, sir. Levi Bar Alphaeus, who is called Biff, sir, of Nazareth."
"Well, Biff, I am Gaius Justus Gallicus, under-commander of Sepphoris, and I think that you Jews should make sure your dead are dead before you bury them."
"Yes, sir," I said.
"You, girl, you are a pretty little thing. What is your name?"
I could see that Maggie was shaken by the attention of the Roman.
"I am Mary of Magdala, sir."
She wiped at Joshua's brow with the edge of her shawl as she spoke.
"You will break someone's heart someday, eh, little one?"
Maggie didn't answer, but I must have shown some reaction to the question because Justus laughed again.
"Or perhaps she already has, eh, Biff?"
"It is our way, sir. That's why we Jews bury our women when they are still alive. Cuts down on the heartbreak." The Roman took off his helmet, ran his hand over his short hair, and flung sweat at me.
"Go on, you two. Get your friend into the shade. It's too hot out here for a sick boy. Go on!"
Maggie and I helped Joshua to his feet and began to lead him away. But when we had gone only a few steps, Joshua stopped and looked back over his shoulder at the Roman.
"Will you slay my people if we follow our God?"
he shouted.
I cuffed him on the back of the head. "Joshua, are you insane?"
Justus narrowed his gaze at Joshua, and the smile went out of his eyes.
"Whatever they tell you, boy, Rome has only two rules. Pay your taxes and don't rebel. Follow those, and you'll stay alive."
Maggie yanked Joshua around and smiled back at the Roman.
"Thank you, sir. We'll get him out of the sun."
Then she turned back to Joshua. "Is there something you two would like to tell me?"
"It's not me," I said. "It's him."
The next day, we met the angel for the first time. Mary and Joseph said that Joshua had left the house at dawn, and they hadn't seen him since. I wandered around the village most of the morning, looking for Joshua and hoping to run into Maggie. The square was alive with talk of the walking dead woman, but neither of my friends was to be found. At noon, my mother recruited me to watch my little brothers while she went to work with the other women in the vineyard. She returned at dusk, smelling of sweat and sweet wine, her feet purple from walking in the wine press. Cut loose, I ran all over the hilltop, checking in on our favorite places to play, and finally found Joshua on his knees in an olive grove, rocking back and forth as he prayed. He was soaked in sweat, and I was afraid he might have a fever. Strange. I never felt that sort of concern for my own brothers. But from the beginning, Joshua filled me with divinely inspired worry. I watched and waited, and when he stopped his rocking and sat back to rest, I faked a cough to let him know I was coming.
"Maybe you should stick with lizards for a while longer."
I failed. I have disappointed my father.
"Did he tell you that, or do you just know it?"
He thought for a moment, made as if to brush his hair away from his face, then remembered that he no longer wore his hair long and dropped his hands in his lap. I ask for guidance, but I get no answer.
I can feel that I am supposed to do things, but I don't know what, and I don't know how.
I don't know. I think the priest was surprised. I certainly was. Maggie was. People will be talking about it for months.
But I wanted the woman to live again, to walk among us, to tell of the miracle.
Well, it is written. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Where is that written?
Dalmatians 9:7, I think. Doesn't matter. No one else could have done what you did.
Joshua nodded. What are people saying?
They think that it was something the woman used to prepare the corpse. They're still going through purification for 2 more days, so no one can ask them.
So they don't know that it was me?
I hope not.
Joshua, don't you understand that you can't do that sort of thing in front of people? They aren't ready for it.
But most of them want it. They talk about the Messiah coming to deliver us all the time. Don't I have to show them that he has come?
What do you say to that?
He was right. Since I could remember, there was always talk of the coming of the Messiah, of the coming of the kingdom of God, of the liberation of our people from the Romans. The hills were full of different factions of zealots who skirmished with the Romans in the hope that they could bring about the change. We were the chosen of God, blessed and punished like no other on earth. When the Jews spoke, God listened. Now it was God's turn to speak. Evidently, my best friend was supposed to be the mouthpiece. But at that moment, I just didn't believe it. Despite what I'd seen, Joshua was my pal, not the Messiah. I said, I'm pretty sure the Messiah is supposed to have a beard.
So it's not time yet. Is that what you're saying?
Right, Josh. I'm going to know when you don't. God sent a messenger to me and he said, by the way, tell Joshua to wait until he can shave before he leads my people out of bondage.
It could happen.
Don't ask me, ask God.
That's what I've been doing. He's not answering.
It had been getting darker by the minute in the olive grove, and I could barely see the shine in Josh's eyes. But suddenly the area around us was lit up like daylight. We looked up to see the dreaded Raziel descending on us from above the treetops. Of course, I didn't know he was the dreaded Raziel at the time. I was just terrified. The angel shone like a star above us, his features so perfect that even my beloved Maggie's beauty paled by comparison. Joshua hid his face and huddled against the trunk of an olive tree. I guess he was more easily surprised by the supernatural than I was. I just stood there, staring with my mouth open, drooling like the village idiot.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all men. For on this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Then he hovered for a second, waiting for his message to sink in.
Joshua uncovered his face and risked a glance at the angel.
Well, the angel said.
It took me a second to digest the meaning of the words, and I waited for Joshua to say something. But he had turned his face skyward and seemed to be basking in the light, a silly smile locked on his face. Finally, I pointed a thumb at Josh and said, "He was born in the city of David."
"Really?"
said the angel.
"Yep." "His mother's name is Mary?"
"Yep."
"She a virgin?"
"He has 4 brothers and sisters now, but at one time, yes." The angel looked around nervously, as if he might expect a multitude of the heavenly host to show up at some point.
"How old are you, kid?"
Joshua just stared, smiling.
"He's 10.
The angel cleared his throat and fidgeted a bit, dropping a few feet toward the ground as he did so.
"I'm in a lot of trouble. I stopped to chat with Michael on the way here. He had a deck of cards. I knew some time had passed, but..."
To Joshua, he said, "Kid, were you born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger?" Joshua said nothing.
"That's the way his mom tells it," I said.
"Is he retarded?"
"I think you're his first angel. He's impressed, I think."
"What about you?"
"Well, I'm in trouble because I'm going to be an hour late for dinner."
"I see what you mean. I better get back and check on this. If you see some shepherds watching over their flocks by night, would you tell them that at some point, probably, 10 years or so ago, that a Savior was born? Could you do that?"
"Sure."
"Okie dokie.
Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Right back at ya. Thanks. Bye.
And as quickly as he had come, the angel was gone in a shooting star, and the olive grove went dark again. I could just make out Joshua's face as he turned to look at me.
There you go, I said. Next question?